Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. And Shay, we're here for a recruiting podcast. LSU has picked up a pair of – oh, you got the balloons going. There you go.
Why did it do that?
Peace sign. Peace sign.
Oh, this is automatic. This AI has gone too far. We are doing a celebration. This is two commits in 24 hours.
Yes, yes. So LSU picks up a pair of commits, first in wide receiver Philip Wright in the 2025 class, and then – also in the 2025 class, safety CJ Jimcoyley out of Tennessee. We'll start with Philip first out of Destrehan. I'll throw it to you. Where do you want to start when talking about this commitment, the recruiting process, and just everything that went into this?
Yeah, they had initially offered Wright back in October, November, so about middle of his junior season at the time at Destrehan, but then stayed on him this spring, though. I think it's when his stock really went up. I mean, he went out and ran a 10.46, or at least sub 10.5 it was, I know for a fact, in the 100-meter. Had a really good 200-meter time, broke 50 in the 400. So we're talking about a track athlete elite enough, an athlete elite enough in track to have recently landed an LSU offer for LSU track and field. And he had said that was big. And look, a month ago, he had an LSU offer, but Michigan had been recruiting him for a long time. So he committed to Michigan. Michigan had three Louisiana kids committed at the time. Less than a month later, he decommits. These kids are, as we see, kind of popping right away before senior season. So we didn't think this one was going to pan out long. I put my on three RPM pick in for LSU about a week ago, I guess it was, after he was in town for the Bayou Splash. And now I just feel like, look, we talked up where the receiver board could go, and we said by the end of the summer, we would know kind of where it was. And they went into the summer with Teron Francis, Louisiana's highest-ranked receiver committed, and they leave the summer months now with Philip Wright out of Destrehan, which many will say is the second-best receiver in the state, and then the number one player out of Nevada, a top 50 prospect, and Derek Meadows, who a lot of people thought was going to go to Notre Dame. LSU ends up snagging him. So you've got three receivers. You swing for the fences, obviously, from here. But I really like the Philip Wright addition look because Destrehan's a pipeline to LSU. We know that. They've got multiple Destrehan kids on the team right now. Quite often, they are very high-impact players. And they've got Jace Thomas, a four-star safety from Destrehan in this same class, already committed to LSU. So now you'll have two coming from Destrehan. And that lines up well, Matthew, for next year when Jabari Mack out of Destrehan is a top five receiver in the country, one of the best players in a deep Louisiana 2026 class. So for many reasons, this is a big one. But for Wright, backs off the Michigan commitment, gets on board with LSU, and that's what fans want. We've seen Louisiana churn out receiver after receiver. You go after a guy like Wright with that kind of athleticism, even though he didn't have the stats you would think that a guy like that would have as a junior. I think as a senior, the second year for the quarterback they have, we'll see if that doesn't go up a bit. And with that, maybe a rankings bump.
Yeah, and obviously when you look at this class, it starts with quarterback Bryce Underwood. So now you're pairing Bryce Underwood with a high-level receiving unit that he comes in and that he can grow with, that he can match up with. Obviously, we expect Underwood to play early and often in his career, but like these are guys that he's going to be able to bond with, grow with, and I just think that's obviously important. Getting Meadows was obviously huge, and now adding a Louisiana guy and Philip Wright is significant as well. And I think it's worth noting in that I think there will be a good amount of turnover, at least from this year's receiving core. Obviously, CJ Daniels, senior, Kyron Lacy, senior, Chris Hilton's older. So like they're going to have to replace players, and in order for them not to have to go to the portal, obviously this was a very big class in terms of having a seamless transition to that 2025 season. And obviously the Bryce Underwood aspect of it makes it all the more important that they get those receivers. So I love the pickup. I think the receiving core now with Meadows, Francis, and Wright is really, really solid.
Yeah. And they all do a little bit different stuff. Wright being kind of the burner. And look, Meadows is fast. He's got elite track stuff, but he's also like 6'4", 6'5". I mean, he's
listed at 6'6", but yeah, 6'5".
6'6". Okay, so let's call it 6'5" even. Yeah. I mean, he is a legit tall jumbo wideout type. And then a guy like Teron kind of does it all for Edna Carr. And we'll see what they go with the four spot. Because I do think they take four receivers. So you're three quarters of the way there.
Yeah, that was my next question, is in the receiver room, kind of where, or I guess offensively, how much more they're looking for there at receiver specifically, because we already know they're set at running back.
Yeah, I think right now we watch for Jamie French, who's going to announce later this month. Kalik Lockett, one of their longtime targets, came off the board this week. He committed to Texas. Jamie French is now down to four teams. LSU's one of them. Texas is one of them. Miami's in there in Tennessee. There's been buzz around Miami, LSU, Texas, not as much Tennessee. The most buzz around Texas, but I continue to go back to the reality that his mom, who he moved to Jacksonville with, is from the Baton Rouge area. She went to Southern for college. A lot of their family still lives here. So LSU does have a little bit of a built-in advantage there, at least in terms of if he went here, he'd be around family. His mom would obviously be able to come in and be around family. So toss that in with the pitch they've made to him. LSU's very much in it. I just think that also Jamie is one of those kids where each, let's say Miami or Texas, each of those schools, I'm certain if you went and sat down with them, their coaching staff could give you a reason that they think they might be the team that ends up getting him. So I believe it's August 24 or maybe 30th. I can give that to you real quick, but August 30th. He is the next name to watch, a five-star receiver. They've had him on the board for a long time now. So that domino will be a big one. I think Derek Meadows landing him and then securing Phillip Wright really eases the kind of any tense moments you would have if Lockett had just went to Texas and now you're looking at Jamie French and you still only had Teron Francis committed. It would feel like you'd be in a little bit of like, oh gosh, we have to make this happen mode. Now with three receivers that they feel very good about, all of whom had offers before this summer, that it doesn't make it as paramount, but it makes it more, not a luxury, but hey, let's get in here, see if we can pull this one off. But if not, we're okay because we've got three solid receivers and we can see where kind of the senior year takes everybody.
Yeah, and even without diving into, you know, the film or anything of Phillip Wright, of him being, you know, borderline between the three and a four-star on Rivals, three-star everywhere else, but obviously very high three-star. You get these Louisiana receivers, and what have we always said? You know, what have you always said? It's been Louisiana receivers, you trust them, especially coming out of Destrehan, where the pipeline of talent has been so beneficial to LSU. And this is a guy who, this isn't a diamond in the rough guy here, that he was committed to Michigan. I mean, he has offers from Georgia, like a lot of high-level programs here. So even if people look at this and be like, okay, he's on three as the 49th ranked receiver in the country, which is not bad by any means. This is, you get stars, you know, Derek Meadows and the Teron Francis are both high four-star guys. Phillip Wright, you trust to develop, you trust him coming out of Destrehan to be a guy that fits. And like you said, they all play different roles in a theoretical offense around a Bryce Underwood. And so that's what you want, is you don't want to have repeats of the same players. And honestly, you don't want to have players that, if they don't play year one, we see it every year, enter the transfer portal. So you keep Louisiana talent. That's what we've always said, how important, how paramount that is to LSU success and how important it is to building a foundation. Phillip Wright, adding him in here, that gives you another high-level guy and a Louisiana player, which you never want to turn down the 12th best player in the state here.
And I think it's one of those things where let's see where the dust settles on the rankings. He could be a top 10 player in the state by the end of it with a big senior season. Look, he only had a few hundred yards receiving last year. They had trouble getting him the ball. I think that as a senior with he and Jabari Mack, they've got weapons at wide receiver. So let's see if he doesn't have an uptick in stats. He no doubt has the athleticism. We've seen it verified in track. But I do. I think this is a guy that you don't pass on. As you noted, too many Louisiana receivers go and have good careers and then end up in the NFL. And you're like, man, you know, would be nice to have them. The SEC Network just put out, I think it might've been Roman Harper's, but the top 10 receivers in the SEC over the past decade, 40% of them are from Louisiana. It's all the LSU guys and Devonta Smith. So CeeDee Lamb born in Louisiana, if we're talking NFL. So you continue to just keep kind of stocking up on guys that you feel good about. If the staff feels good about them, the eval's in, go for it, especially Matty B. And I don't think this comes into play with Phillip Wright, but with scholarships count limit going from 85 to 110, you make even more moves on Louisiana guys that that you think, hey, they may need a couple of years to develop, but they could be really good players.
Yeah. Anything else on receiver recruiting before we jump to an ad read?
No, let's do an ad read and then get into another commitment. As always, my perfect franchise during the recruiting pod has been rocking with us for a while now. You see it if you're watching on YouTube, www.myperfectfranchise.net. It's Andy Ludicky and his team. You can email him at Andy, A-N-D-Y, at myperfectfranchise.net or call him at 404-973-9901. I'll tell you what, Andy has been doing for decades now, deep into really both managing himself as a franchise owner, being part of a franchise with other multiple owners, or now helping people get into it themselves. We say it every time. The slogan is, are you ready to leave that corporate rat race of the American for the American dream? Or it could just be, are you ready to do something else, a side hustle? You want to, you know, you have a little bit of extra time, you want to get into something, or you're looking to just diversify, kind of maybe leave a legacy, pass something on to your kids. You hear so much about new businesses popping up in your area, people becoming franchise owners. And no matter what you're into, Andy's got something kind of in his filing cabinet for you. It's free to call him, which is why we really like him and thank him for being a supporter of the podcast. 100% free to give him a call, ask anything about business ownership, tell him, hey, look, here's the situation I'm in. I may not even know what a step is, what I might want to do, but what's out there, he can get you all those answers. So give him a call. Andy's a great guy. 404-973-9901. That's 404-973-9901. Or email him at Andy, A-N-D-Y, at myperfectfranchise.net. Shout out to Andy and everyone over there. They have helped out many Bengal Tiger subscribers and On3 subscribers. So give them a shout. One more time, it's 404-973-9901.
All right, next up we have safety commit CJ Jim Coyley out of Nashville, Tennessee. This, I'll throw it to you here. What stands out, where, you know, obviously just reading about it and looking into it, everything, he had a top group there. I know Stanford was in the mix. I know academics is very important to him and his family. What ended up being the difference for LSU here?
I think the combination of the chance to play for in the SEC, but at what a school he looks at as DBU, in large part because his father is from New Orleans. His dad was actually at OP Walker when Frank Wilson was coaching there. So that connection obviously gives LSU a big leg up. CJ told me his grandma, plenty of cousins, aunts, uncles all still live in New Orleans. So being from Nashville, whether it's his parents and his family or the folks in New Orleans, they'll get to see him play plenty. But he said the big thing, look, was Stanford and Alabama made a real late push here. Tennessee had been recruiting him given that he's an in-state guy. But everyone always thought he would probably go out of state, and Stanford was in the mix because of academics. And he told me, look, going into the LSU official visit, he was like, the academic side needs to really be blown away because my mom really likes what Stanford has to offer me. And I think between what Jake Olson, the safeties coach, and Frank Wilson, who obviously played a role here as knowing his father and being kind of a lead recruiter on a lot of guys, or at least assisting on a lot of guys in recruiting, as one of the godfathers, really, of recruiting and why it's so massive to have Frank on staff. But they had that plan together, very personalized, took him around campus, his mother, they met with everyone. And he told me afterwards, look, my mom saw everything. It checked the boxes. She feels good about the education I'll get. And then I get to also have that highest level of football at a place that I've always wanted to go. And he joked that his dad was not allowed to comment on his recruiting process because he said that his dad's the type who is such a big LSU fan that every Saturday he's just in the living room in his jersey screaming at the TV. Yeah. So mom handled this one and said, let me walk you through it. But when all the dust settled, they felt good about the decision. There's also a kid, look, from sources, the staff loves the addition of CJ Jim Coyley. And here's a couple reasons. Obviously a really good football player. Think of, if you remember Christian Harris, he went to U-High, then he went to Bama. But he was ranked at the time, maybe as a safety linebacker, but ends up being a college and NFL linebacker. CJ going into his senior year is 6'3 and north of 210. So he plays corner at Lipscomb right now in Nashville. really should be playing safety, really ultimately could just be playing linebacker for them. He's going to start out at that star position, Matty B, which is Blake Baker's third safety. That's really your, in theory, your bigger safety that plays in the box closer to the line of scrimmage that can cover but can also tackle well. He pops on film. He is not shy of contact. And if, depending on where his frame takes him, it could be a linebacker for you. And then all of a sudden, Blake Baker's got a kid at linebacker who carries a 4.3 GPA and nearly went to Stanford. So when it comes to getting calls and doing all those things, there are a lot of reasons they really like Greg Penn, right, at middle linebacker. He knows where to put everybody, knows what's going on. That's the kind of guy Jim Coyley is. So you get him at safety. That gives you two safeties with him and Jace Thomas. He'll play that star position. But if he one day grows into a linebacker, so be it. He'll be a very smart, instinctive, and physical linebacker. So for many reasons, they like this pickup. And they land one out of Tennessee. So sticking into the Southeast, again, not too far of a drive or a quick flight from Nashville down to Baton Rouge. I think this one made sense for a number of reasons. Even Austin Thomas has connections to Buck Fitzgerald and those guys up there, train all the Nashville different prospects across the years. So I always thought it was going to be LSU. And I'll tell you, Matty B, he's one of the only guys who he had told Chad Simmons that he made his decision a week ago. Well, I checked around with different sources and he had already told all the teams a week ago. He texted me the day before he was announcing, unprompted, just to thank me for covering him and writing articles and what On3's done to help cover him. So yeah. You're getting a good kid here in CJ Jim Coyley, which when you can combine that with 6'3", 215, and some elite traits, then you're good to go. So they really, really like this addition. And it's a nice sandwich year, right, but for Jake Olson, where you brought in Deshaun McBride, who is now Deshaun Spears, a year ago. You brought in Joel Rogers. You brought in Jawan Johnson. And then next year, just in Louisiana, between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, you have two top five safeties. Blaine Bradford at Catholic here in Baton Rouge is number one. Mm-hmm. The number five safety is Aiden Hall out of Edna Carr. He just committed to LSU a week ago. So yeah, it's almost like, hey, you've got these two guys in, both four stars. You feel great about them. Now just swing for the fences. And you've got two more safeties committing this month. So it's going to be interesting to see how the next few weeks pan out. And look, if LSU doesn't come away with either of those guys, in Jonah Williams and Bryce Fitzgerald, you've already got Jim Coyley and Jace Thomas. You didn't go into it with all your eggs in one basket. And that's what I really like, much like receiver, as their approach to kind of filling out the position this cycle.
And I think if we look long-term in terms of Blake Baker's scheme and what he wants to do, to your point, kind of mentioning him as a potential star, I mean, a lot of these guys can play star or safety. And like Deshaun Spears is, what is he, 6'2 or so? Like Kylan Jackson's a bigger guy that I thought could play the star. He's at safety right now, but like that similar type of frame in terms of guys that are versatile, guys that can cover, guys that can help in the run. And in this defense, I think the safety position, and which includes star, those three spots I could argue are the most important spots on the defense. And this year, obviously maybe we have questions about it, but moving forward, I don't, like you said, the talent at safety that they've been able to accumulate from last year's class, this year's class in 2026, in theory, should have them set for, if Blake Baker's their DC here for the next 5 years, that's exactly what he wants. He wants those type of safeties. He wants, obviously, smart players, which Jim Coyley is. He wants physical players that could play in the box, that could play in the back end. And there's just a lot that, like you said, he checks a lot of boxes here in terms of, I think, even schematically, when looking at what Blake Baker wants to do. And that is extremely exciting because the safety position on this defense is so important. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I like the way you laid out what his strengths are, and I think it matches up with what Blake Baker wants out of safeties.
Yeah, especially when you're using three of them and not two of them, you know, in theory. So good to have more guys on board. And look, Jace Thomas, NFL bloodlines, yep. Dad played in the NFL. He's a four-star, and he's fresh to safety. He'd been playing receiver at Destrehan. So he's got a year of that under his belt. He'll get a senior year and then come on campus. So we'll dive in next week's pod deeper into Joan Williams, the number one safety, who he's going to announce August 23rd, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And then Bryce Fitzgerald, one of the top uncommitted safeties in America. In fact, those two guys are the only safeties in On3's top 10 safeties for this 2025 class who remain uncommitted. Both come off the sport off the board this month. Both have LSU hats on the table. Jonah Williams is out of Ball in Galveston, so a little closer, obviously, than Bryce Fitzgerald, who's over in Florida. But forever, I think the Florida teams were considered the ones that were going to run away with the Bryce Fitzgerald kind of commitment chase, and it turns into an LSU-FSU here race here at the end. He'll announce August 17th. So we will keep you guys updated on that. We're still more than a week away from it, but keep an eye on it because they are pitching him not just at safety, but at corner, which we know is a need position. And this offseason, he played a lot of corner in 7-on-7 and looked really good, talking to a number of different people. So FSU, probably the team to beat, but let's see what unfolds. Like I said, on next week's pod, we'll dive much deeper into the whole Bryce Fitzgerald, Jonah Williams, do they land another safety?
Yeah. I guess we could just do an big picture look at the 2025 class, where it ranks right now, and just kind of your expectations moving into deeper into August here.
Yeah, we just wanted to get a quick reaction pot up of Philip Wright, who just committed, and then Jim Coyley, who did yesterday. So two in 24 hours, but it will have LSU. It hasn't updated yet, but it'll have LSU at 21 commits, but it keeps them right there in the number three spot behind Alabama and Ohio State. Matty B, those three teams since January, all of them have been at number one at different points. And you see Georgia lurking at four, Oregon at five. Everyone in the top five right now has at least 3 5 stars committed. And then if you're watching on YouTube, if you see beyond that, it gets into the Auburns, the A&Ms, Clemsons. Even between all those schools, only 1 5 star is committed. Yeah. That's the A&M. Even in the top 10, Clemson doesn't have any. Tennessee doesn't have any. Florida State has one. So the top five have really distanced themselves in a way from everybody else. And LSU is very much in this chase for the number one class. It will take some big commits down the line, but you also don't know what's going to happen by way of new rankings, decommitments for different teams. You can shuffle up and down beyond just getting a commitment. So it will be interesting to watch. But LSU has not dropped out of the top five. As I said, they've been at one. They're held steady at three right now. In this whole NIL era, and we certainly can see that LSU's NIL is in a much better place, considering they have the number one overall prospect in the country committed out of Michigan in five-star Bryce Underwood. They've got Louisiana's number one player committed in Harlan Berry. He's also the number one running back in America. And then they beat out Oregon and Miami. Heads up on both of them, who are probably two of the deepest pocketed schools out there, for a five-star number one corner in DJ Pickett, who we've got a story up on the Bengal Tiger right now about him and where he stands with his commitment, coming to some LSU games. Be sure to check that out. But yes, 21 commits. And really, for me, I think, and you can look at the average commit rating being above 92. Only a couple schools have that, Oregon and Ohio State being the others. But Oregon only has 14 commits. So yeah. Ohio State being with 24 commits, LSU being with 21 now, and still being above 92 on your average rating is massive. I mean, that's incredible. Shows that top to bottom, you've addressed things, and position-wise, surely. But talent-wise, it's not like you got half your class is really good and half your class is going to end up transferring out. They've gone top to bottom here, where you can make a case that even the lowest-ranked guys have a chance to move up into four-star territory. So it's one of the better classes we've seen put together across the recruiting cycle, to where they got to number one, never fell out of top five, sit at three, and kind of are in the race for one. So right where you want to be.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say is the most interesting aspect of this 2025 class is the scholarship increase that all the teams will have to account for. And Brian Kelly answered that question at his press conference, talking about, you know, we're going to have to see how we approach it, but I know all the other teams are going to take advantage of it. They're all going to try to add a bunch of players in terms of making themselves deeper and more talented. So we have to kind of evaluate that. And now it's like, you know, how many players does LSU take, and what does it end up looking like in December or November, or even, you know, January, when, you know, in years past, they'd have their almost entire class set at that point. Now it's, do they continue to maybe reach on it? I don't want to say reach, but, you know, take a couple players that are afterthoughts or what they had on the back burner or whatnot. That aspect of it changes things in terms of, I'm interested to see how it plays out when we get to those later months and we get to almost all the top guys being committed, you know, how many extra spots do people take in this class moving forward? So that's just something I'm interested in watching in the coming months.
Well, look, expect dominoes to keep going. Head to the Bengal Tiger. I've got a story up on it now about the dates, who else I expect to be on board, all for here in August. And we've already mentioned Jonah Williams and Bryce Fitzgerald. There's a handful of others. So recruiting is going to stay red hot, Matty B. And get over to the Bengal Tiger. Look, thank you to everyone who subscribed to the YouTube channel. Big shout out to everyone who's subscribed to the Bengal Tiger and continues to do so. We continue to grow there. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you can see the front page is stocked up with DJ Pickett, story and quotes, the tidbits I just was talking about guys who I think are going to commit here in August, Matty B's breakdown of how fall camp has gone daily. He's got multiple articles, Matty B, you can always get over there and, test out one of our trials. I know that we had a YouTube trial going for a while. I don't know if we still do right now. No, maybe not at the moment, but at least you can test it out. If you want to give it a month, to just get a feel for it. It's the cost of a lunch, of going out and grabbing some fast food. So we appreciate it. We do just always want to say that at the end of the pod that we love you guys, girls, and we are very thankful for everyone who has, supported us over all the years and here currently.
Yep. Well, thank y'all for joining us. We'll be back with another podcast very soon. You're going to do the little.
It didn't do it.
But yeah, thank y'all for joining us. Subscribe, like, comment, send it to a friend, and let us know what you think in the comments, on the message board, all that good stuff. We will talk to y'all later.